I'd like to begin this evening just a brief overview of some very basic halachos with regard to hechsher kelim, kashering, which of course is a very, very important pre-Pesach topic for discussion. And to begin with, we know that there are two very basic methods of kashering, hagala and libun. And the purpose of kashering is to enable one to use utensils that have been used with chametz food over the course of the year on Pesach. And to enable that, we need to first remove from within the chametz utensils what is referred to in halacha as the ta'am habalua, the absorbed taste that the chametz foods imparted into the utensils when they were used over the course of the year. We have to remove that ta'am, that is balua, that is absorbed in the utensils, in order to enable us to then use these utensils on Pesach. How does one remove such taste, such ta'am, that is absorbed within the utensils as a result of the chametz use? So two very basic forms of kashering: hagala, which is to immerse the chametz utensil in boiling water, and the logic behind that method of kashering is that the same way when one used the utensil to, let's say, for example, boil up some macaroni over the course of the year, so the chametz macaroni imparts ta'am or taste through the medium of hot water into the pot that was used to boil it. By now immersing that same small pot into a bigger pot of hot boiling water, you extract that same ta'am chametz. The same way it went in when you boil the macaroni through the medium of hot water into the pot or the pan, you now extract it through the very same method through which it was initially imparted. In the Gemara's language, kibolo kachpolto, the way it was absorbed initially, in this case through boiling water, is the way it is extracted through, again, immersion in boiling water. That is the method of hagala. The other method is that of libun, which is when you essentially burn the taste of chametz that is absorbed into the walls of the utensil. So it's a different method of removing the ta'am. You don't remove it by extracting it through the same manner in which it was initially imparted. You essentially destroy the ta'am chametz that's in the walls of the kli by burning it. That is the method known as libun. And there are some critical differences between libun and hagala. Practically speaking, we'll just mention one or two at the outset. When one kashers through libun, there is no need to wait 24 hours before the kashering from the last time the utensil was used, because the libun method of kashering essentially destroys whatever ta'am is in the utensil from chametz use. Now, the most common and safest method of libun that is available to the average homeowner here among us is the self-cleaning cycle in your oven. Anything which is placed into the oven for a self-clean cycle undergoes a libun gummer process. The utensil does not need to be unused for 24 hours prior to that kashering through libun, because the heat reaches such intense intensity through the process of libun that it essentially is viewed as destroying whatever ta'am chametz is absorbed in the walls of that kli from chametz use that was previously used. With regard to hagala, however, there the halacha is different. By hagala, and this is the common form and method of kashering we'll use for kashering metal silverware, in a big pot, we'll boil up some water. When it's boiling, bubbling, we'll immerse the silverware utensils in the bubbling, boiling hot water. By hagala, one must ensure that both the utensil in which one is kashering and the utensil that one is kashering are unused before the kashering process for 24 hours. That renders the ta'am, the taste that is absorbed in the chametz utensil, as ta'am lifgam, as no longer ta'am that is viewed as enhancing the food that it is imparted into, but rather ta'am that is deficient, taste that is no longer palatable, so to speak. And when a kli, a pot, is unused for 24 hours, that's called an eno ben yomo kli, the ta'am that is inside that kli is now viewed as ta'am pogum. It is only aser midrabanan, and
then one is able to kasher that utensil through a method of hagala. If one does not wait 24 hours before a kashering with hagala, then one would have to ensure that you have 60 times the volume of water against the utensil that you're kashering, which is not easily done. If you are kashering pots, it's not so easy to get 60 times the volume of the pot in the water that you are immersing it into. So it's always safest to kasher through hagala after waiting 24 hours during which the utensils are left unused before the kashering method. A second distinction between hagala and libun, aside from the question whether one must leave the utensils unused for 24 hours prior, a second distinction is the following. When one kashers through hagala, one has to first ensure the kli is exceedingly clean. You must scrape away any residue on the utensil before you kasher it. And that is especially challenging when you have perhaps cutlery that has, let's say, a wooden handle attached to a metal blade. And depending on how well it was made and how well it's attached, sometimes there might be some crevices or some cracks where the handle meets the blade. One has to be careful that there is nothing, perhaps even a small amount of residual food or grease that got lodged into those cracks and crevices in the utensil. If one is kashering through libun, however, where you are subjecting the entire utensil to such intense levels of heat, anything that is there is going to be incinerated. There's no need to worry about the possibility of some little residual food or grease stuck in the pot. If you're setting it through a self-clean cycle, whatever is there is going to be incinerated without any question. So that's another critical difference in hagala and libun. Hagala, you have to scrub it clean, make sure there's nothing that might even possibly get stuck into some crevices or cracks in the utensil. Whereas libun, you're incinerating anything that's there. Just stick it into your self-clean cycle, hope that it survives the run, and if it does, you're good to go. Again, caution should be exercised with what you put into your self-clean cycle. I offer no guarantees on a safe result in terms of the utensil surviving. But those are, in theory, the two critical distinctions. Let me just address in the remaining few moments a very popular question, and that is when it comes to kashering through hagala. Everyone who has kashered their granite countertops or marble countertops knows that hagala makes a massive mess, and it could actually be potentially dangerous if you are wearing open-toed Crocs because you want to spear your shoes the cascading boiling water that will come off the tops of your counters and they land on your foot. Not the safest, most pleasant experience. And so many have often asked about using these steamers to kasher my countertops. Much simpler, less messy, safer. Is that valid or not? There's a fascinating discussion in Poskim in this regard. One interesting tshuva cited in Sefer Sidur Pesach Kehilchaso is a tshuva of the Maharsham in Chelek Aleph Siman Sadi Beis. Maharsham was asked about massive barrels used for storage of wine. I think he writes 50-liter barrels, and they couldn't kash them through Hagala. It was used previously for Yai Nesach, Stam Yenam. They want to use it for kosher wine. It was too massive to kasha through Hagala. So Maharsham was asked, can you kasher it by piping in hot steam to the inside of the barrels? And the Maharsham essentially draws our attention to the shiloh of zeya, which is steam that comes up from one food item to another, which in the halachos of basa v'chalav, if you have a steaming hot chicken soup and you put your milchik pot right on top of it, you're going to transfer time from your steaming hot chicken soup into your milchik pot. Zeya transfers time, transfers taste. There's a machlokas haposkim, the Maharsham writes, whether zeya can extract taste from the pot on its way down after hitting the pot. That's a machlokas. And Maharsham says it's a critical machlokas because the whole purpose of hagol is to extract ta'am that's absorbed in the walls of the kli. So if I'm going to steam my countertops, I'm firing, if you will, zeya, hot, very hot steam at the countertop, but I need to ensure that the steam is going to extract whatever ta'am is absorbed in the countertops. And not all poskim say that zeya has that ability. And therefore the Maharsham says one should not use steam to kasher one's kalim in general. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva Niyardeh, Chelek Aleph, Siman Samach, writes as well, for the same reason, that steam should not be used to kasher through Hagala, because it's possible that it's not going to be maflit, it's not going to extract the tam chametz, it's in the kli that you're trying to kasher. Rav Moshe does write, however, if you can confirm, he says, that the steam, when it hits the surface of whatever you're kashering, will condense into water, such that you'll have a hot level or layer of water covering the entire surface you're trying to kasher. If it's boiling water that the steam condenses into, then that would work. But according to the Star K, their tests have shown that most steamers do not condense into that boiling hot layer of water that is necessary, as per Moshe's tshuva, to kasher the kli that you're trying to kasher. So therefore, the general advice based on Rav Moshe's tshuva and Negros Moshe and the Rasham and Chelek Aleph Siman Tzadi Beis would be not to kasher through steam, because it is not necessarily going to extract the tam chametz that you're looking to kasher in your countertops.